Bill Buckley with you until 2, and it's tech time. Yes, the gadget detective, Fevzi Turkalp, is in the house. Don't forget, you can subscribe to his podcast for free, gadgetdetective.com, or on the lady with the five-letter name beginning with A, or any of the other ways in which you normally get your podcasts. How are you doing, Fevzi?
Very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Shall we start with your story of the week?
Yeah, so it's okay. Interesting one. I was kind of feeling reflective. This week, Apple somewhat unexpectedly announced some new Mac computers. So their laptops, which are known as MacBook Pros, and also their very diminutive computer, which is about 7 inches square and about 1.5 inches tall, called the Mac Mini. Now, both of these ranges have been around for a long time, but what Apple have been doing for the last 2 years is moving away from Intel. So Intel were the company that made all the processors inside Apple Mac computers, be they the laptops or the desktops. And 2 years ago, just over 2 years ago, Apple started transitioning away from them and using their own processors, which is kind of interesting because it allows them to control everything. Apple were getting very frustrated because for two reasons. One, Intel were consistently late in releasing the new models, and secondly, the only way that Intel was finding to increase the performance was to add more transistors and more circuits to it instead of making them more efficient in terms of power and energy. They just added more, so the chip, the die as it's called, got bigger and bigger. And the problem with that, particularly for laptops, is that it got hotter. It generated more heat, which means that the fans had to kick up more often, and therefore there was more noise. It also meant that the battery life was shorter. Now, it was quite kind of interesting, this tale, because Apple, at the same time as buying these Intel chips for its Macs, was making iPhones and iPads. And these devices, over the years, became more and more powerful and had to, by their very nature, had to be, was powerful and doing, you know, complicated graphical things on the screen and so forth, had to not draw very much battery, not produce any heat. There was no room for a fan inside an iPad or an iPhone. And Apple said to themselves and then to the world, well, we will adapt our iPad and iPhone chips and put them in our desktop and laptop computers. And that's what they did. They launched the M series about a couple of years ago. And this week they released some computers based on the M2 processor, which is the improved version. So it's quite remarkable because now you have laptops that, in theory at least, and sometimes in practice, can achieve 22 hours of use on a single charge, which is unheard of. You know, traditionally,
it was always the concern, wasn't it? I'm going to run out of juice. Can anybody help me out? Has anybody got a charger? It was all that kind of stuff for so long.
I mean, it is quite remarkable that they've managed to do that, and it means that because they don't generate much heat. I mean, I've got a last generation Mac Mini myself, bought with my own money, and I never hear the fan kick on. It's silent. It's running now. It's 7 inches from the head of this microphone. You can't hear it.
No, that's true.
I can't hear it. I've got my ear less than a foot away from it, and I cannot hear it. And yet, it is so much more powerful than the Intel model that I replaced when I bought this. So it was quite incredible that they managed to do this. So long battery life, often silent in operation, extremely powerful. There's people doing editing of 4K and even 8K video on that. That's to say, very high resolution video, very big files, and it just cuts through it like a sort of hot knife through butter. So quite remarkable. The new models are out, which are very good. We do suffer, unfortunately, in this country, because whilst Apple has not increased its US prices in dollars, because these prices are set and they hope to stay with them for the next year, the pound has dropped about 10% against the dollar in the last year or so. So unfortunately, we've seen some increases. That said, the entry model Mac Mini is actually reduced to 539, because I think it was 699. So that's, you know, that's a good thing. But still, it is a shame that we're having to pay more, but you know, I don't blame Apple for that, because they price everything in dollars. They pay for everything in dollars. You can blame who you want for inflation, I guess. But anyway, the new models you can order now, and they start delivering, I think, from Tuesday in 3 days' time, although there is a back order on some of them. I would just say, just to sound a note of caution, because these are brand new machines, my inclination would be not to pre-order it today, but to hang fire for the reviews that will come out starting on Tuesday, make sure, because there's always specifications tell you part of the story. They don't tell you everything. You've got to look at what's called the thermal envelope. That means how much heat do they produce? Can the chips run at the full speed, or do they have to be throttled back in order not to overheat? You know, one hopes that that's not a problem. The MacBook Pro laptops are arguably the best laptops in the world, but they're not cheap. They start at shade over £2,000.
Right.
So you're looking at... But maybe the name Pro.
Maybe we'll get a Fevzi review on these things. I can see these becoming Gadget of the Week, perhaps, in the future.
Yeah, maybe we will see.
I will
not just review it based on these specs. I just wanted to talk about Apple's journey and how it's taken control of its destiny, and it's dumped Intel. And the funny thing is, Intel, having been booted out of one of its largest, customers, and AMD, the other major competitor, are now both working really hard, having sat on their respective laurels, especially with Intel for some years. They now realize that they have to produce, you know, more energy efficient high power chips, that you can't just keep adding cores, i.e. billions of transistors. Oh, and can I just say one more thing?
You bet.
These chips have, say, between about 40 and 60 billion transistors on them, right? That's the main processor, memory, everything combined. 40 billion transistors. It is a testament to how we could not create these things without computer technology to create them. If you were to just, say, draw 40 billion dots, each representing a transistor, and that was your design, even without connecting them up, which is the important thing, right? You connect all these transistors into logic circuits that become processors and memory and so forth. It would take you over 1,000 years for one person just to draw those dots, much less link them together. It is not possible to create the current generation of computer processor chips without computers. And that's what I've been trying to allude to for some years, that each generation of computers is begetting the next generation.
Mm-hmm.
It is becoming tantamount to reproduction. I hate to say it in that way, but you know, it's like our input into it is going to become less important, and the current generation is going to be more important in producing the next generation.
Yeah. Don't go any further, because we're now getting into the really scary, blows your mind stuff that makes you awake at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. I don't think your Mac Mini is going to kill you in your sleep just yet. But it is interesting.
I'm going to leave that job of joining those dots up for a while. Then it sounds tough. I think I'm going to do the ironing first. Fevzi Turkamp, the gadget detective, also about to tell us what his gadgets are of the week are, starting with a Stream Deck. I think you might need to just go back a step and actually tell some of us what a Stream Deck is.
This is one of those things that you didn't know you needed until you got it, and then you invest a bit of time into it, and then you can't imagine being without it. So it is from a company called Elgato, or a brand called Elgato, E-L-G-A-T-O. Which I'm reliably informed does not refer to cake, but it's called,
or Italian ice cream.
Yeah, what exactly? Yeah, you're getting me hungry. So it's the Elgato Stream Deck. This is the 15 key model. So what is it? It's a bank of buttons. Why would I care? Much less pay for a bank of buttons. So imagine a bank of buttons tilted up towards you, plugged into your computer. 15 keys. So in this case, it's five keys long, three keys deep.
Right.
Each one of those keys can control different things. So the traditional use for this is people that are doing things like live streaming. They're going onto Twitch and they're streaming themselves playing games. You know, that's a big deal. People go online and other people watch them playing games and everyone joins in. It's a live, effectively a live broadcast of them playing a game. But you get also people that are doing live streaming, which is essentially radio over the internet, people doing podcasts and so forth. And those people were people who they call themselves content creators. Those content creators that work, to do these things are typically working alone. They don't have a producer on the other side of a glass. They don't even have the glass, right? So they're having to drive the desk and do everything themselves. And these buttons are programmable buttons that are very, very smart. So it's not just the hardware. It's that Elgato has done these very powerful integrations. They've integrated it with just about, every bit of software you can think of. YouTube, Twitter, Spotify, Philips Hue. Various specialist bits of software like OBS and vMix. These are things that allow us to stream audio and video out onto the internet and control everything. So let's say you're doing a live video stream. So you can program these buttons to give yourself different camera shots live. Yeah. So it becomes like a vision mixer or a vision switcher at least. Mm. You're doing that. But what's interesting about this is that you don't have to be one of those content creators to make benefit of this. This will work with a PC or a Mac, and you can program it so that when you press it, it doesn't just do one task. You can have like a series of tasks, what I would call a macro, or like a chain reaction. So you press the button, it'll start up a particular application, it'll open particular files, it'll do searches for you, whatever. You don't any longer have to learn key combinations or anything like that. Mm-hmm. One of the benefits I didn't tell you about is that the buttons, inside every button, is a little colour screen, a little colour TV set, teeny tiny.
It's about, picture of it, yeah. And I suppose those are, I thought they were just like little paintings, but they could be things, couldn't they?
So it's not just 15 buttons, because you get banks of 15 buttons, and as you cycle through the banks, you get different pictures. Now, these pictures can be ones that they're provided, or you can upload pictures of anything from yourself. So I could make a little picture of Bill Buckley, put it in one of the buttons, and when I press it, it will ring Bill Buckley and annoy him.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, there is a restraining order, so I'm not doing that anymore. But, but incredibly flexible, incredibly powerful, and it is one of those things that if you just spend a little time, setting it up for your needs and looking at what's possible, you end up with something that is truly powerful, that will make you more efficient and make your time sitting at your desk much more pleasant, and less repetitious. And you don't have to be a streamer. Yes, if you're a streamer, if you're a podcaster, if you're an internet broadcaster, a YouTuber, it's great for all of those things, audio and video production. But actually, it's great for just normal use at your desktop. You just need to invest a bit of time. This particular one, the 15-button model, is about £150, give or take. There is a one with fewer buttons, cheaper, and one with more buttons, more expensive. But they essentially do very much the same thing. 4.5 stars out of 5, fantastically useful, very versatile. The Elgato Stream Deck.
Okay, quick as you can, please, a battery charger.
Yeah, so this is kind of interesting, because I sort of tried to do away with single-use batteries, alkaline batteries, as much as I can, for cost reasons, environmental reasons. I try to use rechargeable batteries. I've invested in a lot of batteries over the years, different sizes, AA, AAA, C and D cells. The D ones are the big fat round ones, and the Cs are the slightly less fat round ones, and they go in, things like toys, things that need, more energy than a AA can produce. Now, the problem that I've always had with the chargers that I've used in the past is that you can only charge the batteries in pairs. And it's a problem, because I've got several devices that use three batteries.
Right. Yes.
So I could charge a pair, but then I'm left with one. And what do I do with that one? Because I don't have another battery of the same type to charge with it. I shouldn't recharge the other one. So I have to have two lots of three and charge them all at the same time. And that's really not cost effective. What this thing does is it will charge all the different sizes. It's got 12 plus 2 slots. So 12 slots that will take AA, AAA, C and D batteries. but in any combination. Each of the slots independently charges. So I can charge one battery or three or five. I can charge 12 AA's. I can charge any combination of them. So, yeah, so it's really good. And then in the side, I don't know if you've noticed, but you know what they used to call PP3s, the 9-volt sort of rectangular-looking batteries?
Oh, yes, yes.
You can pop two of those in, connectors down. And you've got three little screens that shows you the progress of each of the 12 batteries in the main bank. The only thing that it's got all the normal sort of overcharge protection, over discharge protection, over current protection, or as they put it, ovary current protection, which is interesting, overheat protection and short circuit protection. So it should be safe, although with any device that I use for the first few times, I tend to prefer to charge during the day when I'm awake, and just in case there's any problems. But there shouldn't be. These are decent brands. But it's just quite a remarkable device. It's about £33. There is a cheaper version of this which charges about half as many batteries, but I think the real beauty of this one comes in the fact that you can do sort of up to 12 plus 2. If you use the fatter batteries, you won't get 12 of those in it, but the fact that you can mix and match. The only downside that I found is because it's got this flexibility to do all the different sizes of battery, the batteries can move around. You have to position them carefully using both hands and make sure that the terminals of the battery are in the right place, because it's not like a grooved slot that it fits into, because it can fit different battery types. So it's a little bit less user friendly. You have to just be a little bit careful when you install the batteries. Okay. I wouldn't say it's if a person's got sort of very bad arthritis or something, I wouldn't say it's ideal for them, because they could struggle. But for most of us, where our hands still work reasonably well, then I think it's a really good thing. I've given it 3.5 stars out of 5. It's about £33. I didn't mention the brand. It's EBL, so Echo Bravo Lima. EBL, the EBL, right. 12 plus 2.
Right.
You see, it's got a big row, three LCD screens in it. Very nice. And it plugs in directly into the mains. It doesn't have one of these silly little chargers with the power supply sort of built into the plug. It's all built into the main thing. So just a mains cable goes directly into it. Right. And it's now become my charger of choice and solved my charging problem.
Very good. Don't go putting me on one of your Stream Deck buttons now. And we will speak in a week's time. Always good to have you on, Fevzy. Thank you so much.
Thank you.